hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, hanging out with me, Captain Marlon Scott, because we are doing coverage from the Miami International Boat Show today. And you may say, why would you be at a boat show when you're doing a scuba diving show? Well, you got to get to the dive site. So we're going to talk a little bit about some boating things that we see that kind of cross over into the scuba diving world. And Captain Marlon Scott, a world-class fisherman and boater himself from the Florida Keys, is here to help out. How you doing, buddy?
Well, you know, we're here, and sure enough, we found it, the big game room. Or up there, we're around the upstairs where it seems really
busy. Hold on. This isn't the big game room. This is bigger than the big game room.
Is it? Well, I think it's Guy Harvey room.
Exactly. This is Guy Harvey's operational mega center here at the Miami International Boat Show, the Super Bowl of boat shows. And, of course, what boat show would be complete if they didn't have Guy Harvey himself hanging out here signing pictures and posters and just all kinds of stuff. Your new books, your t-shirts, boating and Guy Harvey go hand in hand. And he's on Scuba Radio, and I'm proud to say I've got to know him over the last few years. We haven't dived yet, Guy. We got to go diving together, don't we?
You got to come to Cayman, Greg. That's where I do all my diving. In fact, I had a very important guest there this last week. Wyland was down there with me. You know,
cool.
We've done a lot of collaborative work together in the past 10 years, and he got inducted into the International Diving Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Y.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a little press release on that. So were you there to help induct him into the Hall of Fame, or just buy him a drink or two, or what?
Oh, no. It was a big event. A couple hundred people showed up. A very nice setting. He got inducted with, you know, three other worthy recipients. And then we had a couple of days of diving together. The weather got good. Did the stingray thing. And then we did a two-day collaboration in my gallery in Cayman, which is fantastic. We had a lot of school kids come and participate, and we finished it off with a huge street party in his honor, and we had 300 or 400 people show up for a nice gallery event. You know, that guy really works hard. You think I work hard with all the stuff I do, but Wyland really works hard, and he richly deserves his award.
Absolutely. Well, you guys both are just world-class artists in your own right.
Thank you.
And the educational and the outreach and the great things you do with the kids and the Guy Harvey Foundation. You know, we went to your auction event there at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, and that was just amazing for me to see.
Oh, well, thanks for your support at that. I'm sure you know already, but we grind back a large percentage of all our licensing income into marine research work and outreach, and it's just growing bigger as the business gets bigger, so we're able to spend more money on research work.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just saw that little research about the white marlin versus what's the other fish it's getting confused with?
The round-scale spearfish.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
That's groundbreaking work. But it takes cash to care. You know, we spend a lot of time raising money so that we can care about it and get other people involved. So it's great to be here at the Miami Boat Show. We've got lots of new products. We're in this new Guy Harvey Pavilion, just upstairs from the boats downstairs. And we've got two new books out, one book on Panama, which is my favorite place to fish and dive, Pacific side.
Now, in a way, that's an interesting location. I would have never thought that. Why Panama for diving? I haven't been there, so you know better than I do, like, the difference between what you would experience in Cayman, your home base of operations, in Panama.
It's completely different from the Caribbean side. I'm talking the Pacific side. It's very, very productive water, probably the most productive seawater on the planet. So you have a huge richness of fish. And, of course, the big game fish that we like to go and interact with and catch. And so I've been there 36 times in the last 20 years. So finally got enough material, images, artwork inspired by those visits to put into a book form. This book is magnificent. It's 350 pages. And
you did all the photography as well, some art in there as well?
Most of the photography. I've used a few shots that have been submitted by other anglers who go down there. But I've also been allowed to dive there. It's not a diving spot, but I've done a lot of diving there, done a lot of my TV shows there as well. It's a place that's full of action all the time, so it's very consistent.
Yeah, now when you talk about diving, you like to get in the water with these billfish, which a lot of people look at this stuff and they say, he's crazy, you know, because they're billfish. They got them long, needly things on the end of their nose that they could stab you with, right?
They have the ability to do that, but they don't, because they know what you are, who you are, that you don't pose a threat to them in the water.
Is it kind of like sharks? Like people get freaked out about sharks, same thing with billfish maybe?
Yeah. You know, they're very graceful animals. They live in the open ocean in the top surface layers of the water, so you find them, you know, in good light conditions. They make great photographic subjects, and they're an awesome animal to dive with. And if you do interact with one ever, you should never feel threatened by one, because they eat small fish. They don't eat people or run into people on purpose. They avoid people.
Yeah, so if you did have an issue with them, it would have been a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say the most dangerous thing out there is the boat.
Yeah, well, of course, exactly. Getting on and off the boat is where you have your most problems, or dropping a tank on your foot, that kind of thing, whatever the case may be. Now you're just in Cayman with Weiland. That's where you live, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you do a lot of diving there. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on Scuba Radio about this whole floating barge thing at Stingray City. What you have any thoughts on this? I mean, I don't know if it works for the locals, I guess, but what is your take on that?
To me, that's a bit of a storm in the teacup. You know, people go to the sandbar anyway on a daily basis to have fun, and the locals all go at weekends and they take their own drinks with them. And
so having a floating bar there, who cares, right?
The other thing, Greg, is that people aren't going to be there long enough really to participate in that kind of activity. The cruise shippers in particular are, you know, very strictly managed, and they're rushed out there. They have a rushed experience, a rushed back. You know, who has time to do that?
Yeah, well, good point. So you think it's much to do about nothing kind of thing?
I would say that, and I would think it would die a natural death.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. All right, well, that's you heard it from the man himself. So what else is on the radar? You're going to work the boat show here this weekend in Miami, and then where?
No, we got another show in California coming up early in March. It's the biggest fishing show in the West Coast, so we do that every year, too.
Yeah, any of the dive shows, other than you just were at the DEMA show, I remember.
The DEMA. I got a nice award there from Weiland, actually.
Right.
That was pretty cool. No, we got shows through the summer, too.
All right, cool. Well, you know, Guy, it's always a pleasure to see you. You got a ton of people here I know that want to meet and greet, and I don't want to keep you from your duties here in Miami.
Greg, thanks a lot, and good luck as always, and safe diving, everybody.
Absolutely. Guy Harvey, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for Guy. Come on.
Thanks.
He is the man. You know, if you don't have a Guy Harvey T-shirt, if you're a boater, that's pretty much sacrilegious. It goes hand-in-hand with a Jimmy Buffett CD. But when it comes to diving, a lot of people don't realize how avid a scuba diver that Guy Harvey really is. He's really into the whole diving thing and shows up at some of the dive events like DEMA and that kind of thing. Now, Barry, what do you think? Do you have a Guy Harvey T-shirt yourself, or what kind of Guy Harvey stuff do you have?
No, just some Guy Harvey prints. I haven't gotten a T-shirt from you yet.
Yeah, what do you mean? What, you want a Scuba Radio T-shirt? I've given you a Scuba Radio T-shirt, but that doesn't have the same panache. Is that the right word, as a Guy Harvey shirt?
Well, it's not quite as nice as a Guy Harvey shirt. I was hoping you would snag one for me.
What, a Guy Harvey shirt? Yeah, for like $20 or whatever they're selling them here for. I don't get them for free. Are you kidding me? Guy has to make a living. It's a tight economy for everyone. He has to make a few bucks.
You don't have this Scuba Radio business card with you?
Well, yeah. What, do you want one of those? We can hook you up. What about you, Marlon Scott? I know you have some Guy Harvey shirts. You got the Guy Harvey restaurant down there in Key West.
Well, here's the deal. In Key West, now, with Guy Harvey Grill in Key West, one of the things you have to get over the Jewfish Creek Bridge, okay, you've got to have a Guy Harvey T-shirt or it won't open up for you. That's simply how it is.
Okay, fair enough, right.
Now, you know the Jewfish Creek Bridge isn't being used anymore, but we still stand by it.
Yeah, do they still? They don't even call it that anymore. Didn't they have to change the name of Jewfish Bridge to Goliath Grouper Bridge or or something?
Well, we lobbied for that, but they made us change the name of the fish, but they didn't make us change the name of the bridge. So it's still Jewfish Creek Bridge.
All right, but it's not in operation anymore.
Nope. They did the new span that comes over, and it really is fantastic. But still, there's this old guy that's standing there on the side of the road that's looking for Guy Harvey T-shirts, and if he finds out you leave without it, he's going to throw a grouper at you.
Okay, fair enough. So, you know, but it does go hand in hand when it comes to boating, fishing, and now, if you didn't already know, diving. Because he does a lot of diving. Did you know that yourself?
Oh, I know that. Yeah. He does it all. I mean, he is, what they say, obsessed, but he's an educated obsessed. He's not a, red-eyed obsessed. He's a get-it-out-there-and-conserve type obsessed. And that's what you need. You need unique individuals like Guy Harvey. And, boy, has he done a lot of things.
Yeah, he does. He does that. You know, that the event that we went to last year for the Guy Harvey Foundation was remarkable. I mean, he puts on this event every year around the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show where they pull out all the stops, they auction off some really high-end artwork and stuff and raise money for the Guy Harvey Foundation, which funds all this research for Bill Fish. And, I mean, he has his hands in so many research projects like that to help fund these worthwhile projects. That it kind of goes unnoticed. And, you know, I try to throw it out there every once in a while because people need to know about this stuff. He's way more than a cool-looking fish T-shirt. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, you know what gets me about Guy is we sit here and we come up, okay? Now, we do this every year. Every time we're with Guy, we interview Guy because he is a celebrity. He's an icon.
Right.
And what happens, we come up. He says, "You guys ready? Let's do it now." He's signing autographs. He always takes time for everybody. And, in fact, we're watching him right now continue to do what he does all day long. He's signing autographs. Very important guy in this whole community.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. His name's Guy Harvey.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the few people we've had on Scuba Radio who continues to talk to us over the years.
Well, he's gotten to the point now where we're pretty much, he's numb to us. Let's put it that way.
Yes, indeed. Hey, look, there's a bunny. See, you never know who you're going to run into here in Miami. Sean, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Greg. Good.
Sean Fisher from Mel Fisher, the grandson of the famous Mel Fisher, right?
I am, yes.
What are you, you're lining up, you get a picture with Guy or something?
I actually just want to shake his hand. I just had a commissioned piece done by Guy of our modern treasure hunting boat over a beautiful galleon with lots of beautiful fish swimming between the two of them, and I've never actually met him, so I just came up to say hi.
Yeah, well, he's a great guy, as we just said there, Sean.
Yeah,
so you guys, you'll hit it off. He'll talk to us. He'll talk to anybody.
That's
not
right.
That he wouldn't talk to you anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's right.
So are you guys exhibiting here at the boat show, too?
Yeah, we also have a booth downstairs. Lots of treasure, lots of gold, and lots of silver.
Now, how many millions are you displaying here at the Miami show? Can you say without...
Yeah. We've got about $1.6 million worth of treasure.
Nice.
Here. So, yeah, come down and check it out. It's absolutely beautiful.
Free samples at the...
No? All the other booths, they're giving away pens.
Right. Chocolates, mints, but you go to Sean Fisher and Mel Fisher's treasures down there, they give you free gold or something.
Yeah, that's right. Well, at least maybe it'll look
a
like gold.
Oh, okay. A little, artist replica.
That's right.
Gold to bloom or something. Right. Well, Sean, great to see you again, buddy.
Good to see you, Greg.
We're going to travel around the boat show and talk, find some boating and diving things. Connect the dots for some folks here in South Florida. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Captain Slate from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center in Key Largo, Florida, and you're listening to my good buddy and dive pal, Greg the Dive Master, from the world's first radio show devoted to diving, Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
I love it.
Yeah, we're going to catch up with Captain Slate next week in Chicago at Our World Underwater, 40th anniversary of that show. We will be broadcasting in fine form. Do not miss it. That will once again be next Saturday, a week from from today. Today, however, we are in Miami at the Miami International Boat Show. You never know who you're going to run into. I have Captain Marlon Scott to help me out from a boating and fishing perspective. And, you know, we ran into Sean Fisher, the grandson of Mel Fisher. We've already talked to Guy Harvey. And here's somebody, I don't think I've had her on Scuba Radio before. We've had her on our boat show before, I think, once. But Sue Cocking is the outdoor writer for the Miami Herald. We cross paths all the time, don't we,
all
Sue?
All the time.
She is so sick of me when she sees me at all these events. She's like, who is this bozo with the microphone and dressed like a geek in a fishing shirt with some Scuba Radio thing?
You do so much to promote the diving industry. You do
well,
a really good job.
Well, thank you, Sue. And I know, you know, you're an outdoor writer, do a lot of fishing thing, but you do a lot of diving stuff,
yes,
too, don't you?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, the first time you actually met Scott, because I or was this or what?
I think we might have met each other before on a fishing boat. Yeah,
well, we you know we run the same circles. I do a lot with Cammie Clark on our show, and we always talk about Sue and her riding. So I always bring her up. We always do it. I mean, I
Cammie
know
is
well,
one of the other Miami Herald writers, right?
Right. Yeah.
She covers the Florida Keys for the Miami Herald from the news side of it.
Got it. Well, that makes sense why her and Marlon are hanging out a little bit now and then. But you cover the South Florida. Angle for fishing, for boating, that kind of thing. I know the big news down here is a couple weeks ago. We haven't even talked about this on the show at all, but this this shark attack to the kite surfer. What's your take on that from a fisherman, boating, diving perspective? What happened there from what you saw?
Well, all I can say is I was in that exact area about a week and a half before it happened, and we were fishing along a shoreline trying to catch pompano and bluefish, and I must have seen, if I saw one black tip shark, I probably saw 300. And I remember looking at the people that I was with on the boat and saying, boy, I sure wouldn't want to go diving or fishing around here. And then what do you know, this thing happened with the kite surfer. But that area this time of year is known to be full of black tip sharks, like just within a short swimming distance from shore, because there's all these bluefish and pompano and jacks and all kind of bait fish running up and down there. And the black tips just come in close so they can eat the bait fish.
Yeah, so, you know, but it was just wrong place, wrong time kind of thing.
Exactly. I don't think a shark ever tries to attack anybody on purpose. I do not believe that. I've never believed that. I think it's mistaken identity. If you were out there kite surfing and the water was like a little bit murky and maybe stirred up in a lot of bubbles with all the wind that we've had lately in the last few weeks, it would be easy to see how the shark might make a mistake and think that all these bubbles were a bait fish when really it was a kite surfer.
Well, exactly. And you know, you feel for him and his family, obviously. But he was a kite surfer. He was a surfer, a snorkeler. They don't mess with the divers usually, so that's all good for us, right?
Yeah, it's like usually when the shark sees a diver, it's like they know what you are. And I think with other people that get attacked, it's usually either a case of spear fishing where he's trying to get your fish away and maybe he accidentally bumps you, or it's just mistaken identity.
Absolutely.
I think that's what happens a lot of time with divers.
No doubt. Now, you're here at the Miami International Boat Show. Obviously, are you working or are you just kind of hanging out observing today? What are you doing?
No, I was going around trying to look for new things just to write about for a Sunday article. But from what I've seen, the show's a lot smaller. There are still a lot of new innovations and stuff like that and interesting things to see. But it's not as big as it's been in past years, I think, because of the economy.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. And, you know, it's hard to say. We're here recording the show on the first day of the show, which is kind of preview day. So it's a little bit slow today, and we'll have to wait and see how the show does overall over a few days over the weekend to see if we see a bump in attendance. I mean, some of the other boat shows across the country have shown double-digit increases in attendance. You think that's going to be the case here, or what's your gut telling you from a reporter standpoint of the Miami Herald?
Well, I'm sure the attendance is going to go up over the next 3 or 4 days. I'm convinced of it because it's a holiday weekend, and a lot of people can't get off on Thursday to come to the show. But it just seems like the amount of exhibitor space in water and on land is less than it's been in previous years, and I think it's because the marine industry has downsized in the wake of the economic problems we've had.
Yeah, well, that would make sense, and that's what you think too, right, Marlon?
Completely convinced of it. That's what we see, and it's the exhibitors. It's not the attendance. They're up, and they're up because people are looking for a nice, inexpensive thing to do on a Saturday or a Sunday. Throughout the whole country, it's been that way. It's been up everywhere.
Yeah, well, and hopefully that'll be the case here in Miami. But we're talking about things you do on topside, and we talk about things you can do underwater. We're going to go to Green Turtle Key next with our buddy Brendel. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection. Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We are wandering the Miami International Boat Show. I mean, you got to use a boat to get to the dive site, right?
That's right.
And there's a lot of dive operators and dive businesses that are exhibiting here in South Florida this weekend. So we figured, hey, this might be a good opportunity to kind of catch up with some of those folks, check out the latest and greatest boating stuff that might, you know, apply to boating. And obviously, we've run into some pretty cool folks already. And here's another one with me right now, my good friend Brendel Stevens from Brendel's Dive Center in Green Turtle Key. Hey. You know, buddy.
Hey, Greg. How you doing, buddy? It's good to see you.
Last time we hung out briefly, we got to talk a little bit at the DEMA show in Orlando. Here we are in South Florida. How's biz been for you?
Business has been not so bad, you know, for us. Well, the economy as it is, you know, I really can't complain. It's not bad. It's not bad. Well, you know, it's the Bahamas, man. You know, it's better.
It's better in the Bahamas.
Everybody comes to the Bahamas.
That's right, man.
The diving is fantastic. You know, the picnics are great.
Brendel,
it's
so much fun to hang out with. It's been too long since we've been over there, Brendel. We have got to get a mermaid or two over there, do a scuba radio show.
You keep telling me that.
I know. Keep teasing it, don't I? But Brendel is one of the coolest folks in the dive industry to hang out with. And if you've ever went to the Bahamas and had a host like Brendel, I'm telling you, you've gone over the moon. It is so much fun. It is the true Bahamian experience. You still doing the conch salad
still
thing?
Still doing the conch salad on the boat every trip.
Goombay smash.
You got to have it. You know, I mean, it's good for the tan.
It's good for the tan. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
that's a new one. I didn't know it was good.
Got it.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you got to look at Brendel.
It's always good to see you, buddy.
Go to his website and see Brendel. Yeah, it's great seeing you.
So, www.brendel.com. Go check it out.
Yes. Now, what have you been doing lately over there? What are you seeing over there, critter-wise? What about this cold snap that we had in Florida a few weeks ago?
Yeah, we've had a bit of it, too, over there, and it did put a little damp on the diving. I was getting ready to open up a ski shop.
All right, well, hold on, Brendel. We got to talk to him some more. Green Turtle K in the Bahamas, one of the coolest places on the planet to dive. We got more with Brendel Stevens next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Steve.
I like his flippers. Does he ever take them off?
No.
How about if he goes bowling? They don't make him wear bowling shoes? They let him wear the flippers?
Yes.
Really?
I took a dive.
back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master here at the Miami International Boat Show, hanging out with Brendel Stevens. He's working the Bahamas booth, of course, there at the boat show. And it's been a while since I've been able to catch up with my friend Brendel. You know, he's like the Bahamian Neil Watson. These guys are connected at birth, and I'm telling you, if you ever go to the Bahamas and have the opportunity to get over to Green Turtle Key and hang out with Brendel, you will have the ultimate host for that island, because he runs the place. Like I said, him and Neil have this a similar kind of approach to their operations, and they know how to throw and host a party like no other. Now, Brendel, I got to talk to you about some of the diving there at Green Turtle Key, because every time we see each other, I kind of have a tendency to focus on the fun, because you know how to lay out a great party and just hang out, have a drink or two. But you got some great diving there over at Green Turtle Key in the Bahamas, right?
Yes, we do have some awesome diving. Some of our favorite dive sites are the caverns. The island is just all the reefs are loaded with caverns. And I have one that I call the Coral Caverns. And at this site, we've got the most groupers you'd ever want to see. Tame groupers, moray eels. The eagle rays pass through these passes, these sand channels and stuff. It's just wonderful. My other site I like is the barge. It's a wreck that went down there in 1865. I think it was the very first U.S. steamship. Tons of fish. The life on that thing, it's amazing. It's just, you got to, next time you come, you got to do that one with me, Greg.
I got it. We got to go out and do the whole conch salad. And now you're still doing that too?
Still doing the conch salad.
Brendel was one of the first dive operations I went to in the Bahamas, where on our surface interval, he snorkeled down, grabbed the conch, cleaned it right there on the boat, and whipped up this tasty conch salad, Bahamian conch salad, that was to die for. I was like, oh my gosh, these are like little chunks of lobster meat or something. I had no idea conch could taste so good. But yeah, that was you, man.
Yes, that's it. I mean, I love conch. That's one of my favorite food.
Yeah, and also that's where I actually saw one of these monster groupers that you've learned to work with them over the years, and I saw a lobster come up and eat a lobster in front of me.
Yeah, yes, the groupers, they love lobster. Lobsters, I tell you, if the lobster get out of this hole and the grouper is there, they're gonna get it. I usually have a grouper. Actually, I have one there that he and I we have this thing with the relationship, but we go hunting for lobsters. I would ask him, where's the lobster? And I give signs, of course. And he would swim over. He knows exactly where the lobster hole is. It's amazing, man.
Yeah, well, how are you talking to him there exactly, Brendel?
We're using signs. We use sign language, man.
Yeah, so what, he flips a fin a certain way? Or?
Yeah, a palms up means where's the question mark in the diving industry.
Right, right.
And that's asking where, and then I do a lobster sign on top of the head. It's like, where's the lobsters?
Yeah, is this before or after you've been drinking those Goombay smashes?
Oh, usually after.
Okay, that explains it. No doubt. No,
it's always before. I'm teasing.
No, he's a responsible diver. Yes. I know. He doesn't mix the two, but he knows how to have a good time. But I didn't know this. It's kind of like you're the grouper whisperer.
They're amazing animals, you know. Most people tend to underestimate them, but the fishes, the rays, you know, I mean, you've seen the stingrays that I feed on the beaches. And, you know, they're beautiful animals, and I think they know who the masters are, you know. Oh, that hand feeds me, man. They show up because it's food.
It's Brendel. Yeah, it's we fruit. Go way back. All right, more coming up from Miami. Stay close.
Good to see you, man.
Oh, yeah.
Want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA. Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 26. Watching fish and coral spawn can be fascinating while diving.
Are you sure you want to do that?
However, they just think you're a pervert.
What the hell are you staring at?
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio is Jeff Meyer, COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Jeff?
I'm great, Greg, but you're looking a little green. You okay?
Well, I just got off the dive boat.
You still having issues with seasickness?
I was today.
That's one ailment that does tend to find most of us at one time or another.
There has to be a way to beat it once and for all.
Sorry, not really. True, those who spend more time on the water tend to become more resistant to it, but there's no foolproof method to guarantee you'll avoid it.
Great.
It's no big deal. It's just a physical reaction to motion. There's not a dive boat in existence that doesn't have stories of divers feeding the fish. And every person who's spent time on the water has experienced it, or at least enough of it to be queasy.
Okay, so there's no guarantees, but there are suggestions for avoiding it, I hope.
Yeah, sure, lots of them.
You're toying with me now, aren't you?
A little bit.
You are so not my buddy right now.
Okay, okay. Suggestions for dealing with seasickness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with taking care of yourself the night before you dive. Get a good night's sleep, eat well, and take it easy on the alcohol.
How can that possibly make a difference?
The better you feel, the better your body is able to adapt to conditions.
Okay, I'm convinced. No, what else you got?
It'll sound like a contradiction in logic, but eat a little something the morning of the dive. Keep it light, but you'll be surprised at the difference it makes.
How do I keep from thinking about it? It's like the moment I step on the boat, I worry about whether or not I'm going to be sick today.
You're not alone, but while it's easier said than done, try not to think about it. Constant worry about becoming seasick tends to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Think about the dive. Think about the day. Think about Christmas. Anything but getting seasick.
Christmas?
Sure. You'd be amazed at how decking mental halls and singing jingle bells can take your mind off things.
I'm feeling better already. So while I'm singing...
Stay on deck. The fresh air will do you good, and your eye will be able to stay on the horizon. That helps your body adapt to the motion, as what your eyes are seeing will match what your body is feeling. Your mind will be less confused.
The fresh air does feel good, and I find the middle of the boat rocks less.
Yep. And stand instead of sitting if you can. Your legs will help to absorb the motion.
Steadiness is really one of the biggest helps, isn't it?
It is. Minimizing the motion, not getting too hot or too cold, keeping your eyes level, it all can help.
I'll say one thing about seasickness. It definitely gets me in the water.
Yeah, if you're up for the dive and not dehydrated from getting too sick, definitely get in the water as quickly as possible. Not only will you feel better getting under the waves and the motion, it'll get your mind off your stomach for a while as it focuses on the dive.
But of course, if the seasickness is really laying you out...
As much as you'll hate to stay on the boat, don't risk the dive. Only you will know if you're well enough to dive, and you'll have to make that call.
These are all great tips, but what about drugs? There's got to be a magic pill or something to take, right?
Yes and no. There are a lot of remedies out there, and every diver swears by a different one. Like anything else, you have to try them and see what works for you.
If you want to go natural, I know ginger works well.
Yep. And if you like pharmaceuticals, medications like Dramamine or Scopolamine are favorites of many. But if you decide to go that route, please be careful. They can have side effects like drowsiness and dry mouth, and we know that fatigue and dehydration are not a diver's friend. Test them before you dive to see how you react, and be aware that drugs wear off, so you'll want to consider that in your dive planning.
I've also tried the wristbands and similar things that use pressure points and magnetic pulses. They're not bad either.
Nope. A lot of divers have good luck with those. The trick really is to find what does and doesn't work for you.
And assuming all the tips, drugs, ginger, and pressure points on hand don't work?
Try to make it to the leeward side of the boat. Don't use a marine head. They can't handle it. Stay outside in the fresh air and try to drink fluids as much as possible so you stay hydrated. And above all, remember that it's no big deal.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. Seasickness is a common affliction among divers, and there's no shame if you experience it. It can be uncomfortable, though, and it can lead to dive risks. So do what you can to minimize seasickness or prevent it altogether. But whether you beat it or it beats you, just remember to take care of yourself. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Okay, we are back at the Miami International Boat Show. We've kind of moved indoors to a quiet area. Now, I mentioned this earlier. Barry, our Scuba Radio superfan from South Florida, has been helping out as a Scuba Radio, gear schlepper? What a faux tog. What is your role here, Barry?
I would say I'm the camelback carrying everything you brought down.
Yeah, just tons of gear. I mean, it takes a lot to put on this two-hour radio extravaganza every week, as you see, right?
Yeah, it's like carrying a BC and tank with me.
Yes, it is. It's a chore, but he does it with a smile on his face. Now, here in South Florida, Barry, obviously you live here. Let's talk a little bit about some of the diving. We've talked about the Bahamas, and we've talked a little bit about some of the stuff that's happened recently with that little that kite surfer situation. What about the diving? How has the cold water affected your diving down here in South Florida from your perspective?
Well, basically, you have to put a lot of neoprene on. It's the only way. like to keep really warm. Some of my dive buddies can dive in a t-shirt, and I just don't understand it. But the nice thing about cold water diving down here, or at least winter diving, is that the water's a lot clearer. It's a lot bluer than you would find in the summer. You don't get that summer algae bloom that you do in the wintertime.
Yeah, and evidently it brings in some interesting critters. You know, Sue Cocking was talking about the black-tip reef sharks, like, ooh, gosh, we were fishing and they were all over. But from a diving perspective, that could be kind of cool, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And, of course, you know, this is the time of the year when you can still hunt lobsters. We have till March 31st to do that.
Now, have you been doing that lately off the boat, the Surprise, your 17-foot Triumph super lobster catcher?
The super lobster catcher? No, I usually do that off the beach. It's just easier on me to go out and catch them and bring them back than it is to launch the boat and do it that way.
Fair enough. So what are you doing next? It's warmed up now. And, of course, I'm heading to Chicago after this weekend to kind of cool things down. But how warm is it now? Have you even checked the conditions lately? Are you waiting for another, you know, month or so before the water really warms up for your warm water wuss, you know, threshold?
Well, I definitely like diving in the summer, so I don't have to put all the neoprene on. And I'm going to wait till it gets to about 73, 74. Right now it's been around 69, 68.
And that is freezing. And, of course, now the people that are listening in Chicago are going, oh, my God, what are you kidding me? We were ice diving on Hague Quarry last week.
Yeah, but it takes them an hour just to get their gear on.
It does, and it doesn't take that long, even when you're slipping on a 3 mil or something here in Florida these days. But that's enough for us warm water wusses. We're just wimps. What can we say? All right, more coming up from South Florida and the Miami International Boat Show. Stay close. Here on the island.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Well, divers do, because we like seeing those little critters underwater. I don't know if it's cold enough for us to see a lot of anemones. You don't have anemones off the coast here, do we?
Yeah, you find them. You just have to look around inside the reefs.
Okay, they're just tucked away a little more hidden here in South Florida.
Yeah, you know, when it's cold, everything kind of hides in place.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I think anemones like the colder stuff, don't they?
No, I don't know if they like it.
I don't know. You see a lot of them in Fiji and some of those places. And I mean, we see them in the Caribbean. Yeah, what am I talking about? You know, it's been a long day. My feet hurt. And it's starting to affect the way I think here. You know what I'm saying, Marlon Scott?
5 miles. That's what I think we walked today.
5 miles?
Five.
That's too far.
Yeah,
that's our five. Feet aren't made for that, are they?
Oh, buddy.
You need to jump in the water, go swimming, go finning, scuba diving.
Spending too much time in the water probably caused this. You know, that neutral buoyancy has made it us much less capable of walking this distance we have to do. It's a big place.
It is. It is. You know, this is the largest indoor boat show, I believe, in the world, or definitely United States. And it's a massive event here in the Miami Beach Convention Center. So what do you think from a diver's perspective? We'll get into this on the boat show, but what's going on down in the Keys where you're from? I mean, we talked to Barry here in South Florida. He told us about it. Is the water that cold? Is it in the 69 to 71 range down there in Key West?
No, it's 75.
All right, now we're talking.
Yes, it is. It is for you warm water wussies, or is it cold water wussies? I can't remember how you called it.
Warm water wuss.
Okay, warm water wuss. It's working for you. I mean, it'll work for you down there.
Let's 75 still on the chilly side.
Sure. You gotta
That's
use
a 3 mil, 30 minutes. That's about all you're going to get out of me.
Right, right. But you know what happened? And we promised to talk about this. There is a misconception, a PR issue going around the entire country that all the fish died in the Florida Keys in South Florida. That's not true.
Yeah, that cold snap we had a few weeks ago in Florida that you heard all over the news. There were fish kills, manatees dying. Oh, the sky was falling or something. But that's not the case is what you're saying, right?
No, Chicken Little is not alive anymore.
Plenty stuff to still see in the Keys.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the actual what's happened is there was a movement. There was a tsunami. We got hit by a tsunami of fish on the patch reefs. I've never seen anything like it. 25 years. I've been in the Keys, looking at the Keys, being part of the Keys, underwater, above water. I've never seen anything like it.
A tsunami fish?
A tsunami of fish.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. But just lots of fish are there.
Lots of fish.
They like the cold water, unlike me.
The ones that are there think it's warm from the water they left. So, I mean, they all came from the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, there you go, and they can be big critters. Fun photo subjects for divers for sure. All right, look, we got another hour of Scuba Radio on deck from Miami. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.